Well, tonight we continue with the reading of Psalm 119. We've been working through this psalm, eight verses at a time. And tonight our text comes from Psalm 119, verses 137 through 144. So let's turn there to and read God's Word. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. And thus ends the reading of the Lord's Word. Please be seated. Tonight I've chosen to comment on the question, what is truth? And obviously I have an answer to that question, and it's contained in verse 142 of this psalm, where we read, your law is truth. Your law is truth. And as we've been noting in Psalm 119, there are eight different words which are used for the law of God. Law, statutes, precepts, commands, and testimonies, and word also is sometimes used for the word of God. So when you ask the question, what is truth, that question, when you think about it, would never be necessary had there not been a fall. Everyone would know what the truth is. And Adam, before the fall, had no doubt what the truth was. For him, truth was what God said. God's word was truth. He gave the word, and it was true. And Adam sought to keep that word, but he also fell, and he broke that word. And events which immediately happened after the fall to Adam proved without a shadow of doubt that God's word was true. But ever since that fall, men have been on a quest. A quest to, in every way possible, get away from God's truth. Get away from the Word of God as truth. And develop truth apart from God and His Word. Generally speaking, for men, if the Word of God seemed too rigid or too pointed, men would decide either to deny the Word, that part of the Word, or to ignore it, or to modify it, to make it easier to handle, to deal with. If the Word of God seemed too specific, too vague or too unspecific, then men sought to make it more specific, so that they could claim they somehow were able to keep it and merit God's attention and favor. So man could say to God, look how good I am. Look how righteous I am. When all these alternatives didn't work somehow for man, he still believed, but still found himself unhappy and unproductive and lacking joy, man began to be more sophisticated in how he dealt with God's word and began to say, truth is whatever I think it is. Later on, in our world, men begin to say no one can seriously believe that God's truth is relevant to us anymore. We live in a sophisticated world, and we need sophisticated answers to our problems. So, truth becomes no longer one, but many. Truth becomes no longer absolute, but relative. And our whole society's decay can be seen in that relativation of God's word, that relativation of truth. It leads to increasing crime, to societal disorder, decay, which is even seen in the works of art. I could be specific about that, but I won't. Music impacted too. Philosophy, ethics involved. No longer is there right or wrong, but if it feels good, do it, becomes the mantra of the day. Or that's even passé now. And even we have uncertainty over the meaning of words. We're no longer sure what the word is means. If you really want to go off into rejection of the truth, you could follow the pattern of some of the philosophers of the 19th and 20th century and have a man like Nietzsche proclaim that God is dead and really that God is not the focus of reality or truth anymore. It's all us. We're the superhuman, the superman, the super God, as it were, little God. We don't need God. And so it's, even though I'm going to be speaking mostly from Psalm 119 tonight, it's interesting to take note of how Pilate, in his confrontation, his one appearance before Jesus, even asks this question, what is truth? It must have been a very interesting study in contrast between the two individuals, one full of worldly power and glory, representing the might of Rome, all the splendor and all the beauty, one full of great earthly power over against the beaten and battered Christ, the one who is the Word of God made flesh, the one who is God incarnate, full of all power and glory, the kind of power and glory that ultimately matters in eternity. The Roman governor, who dispenses law and justice, representing the glories of Rome, does not know truth, even when truth itself stands right before him. Quite a striking development. Are there many truths out there, or is there just one? I know I'm preaching to the choir. I think you can all say there's just one truth. And we all know that that truth is contained in God and His Word. And that's what our psalm talks about tonight. And it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that to sketch out and to speak to other issues that are at stake regarding how you view the Word of God as truth. Now, in our text, it says in verse 142 that the law of God, or law being a synonym for God's Word, is truth. Is truth. And now, this certainly isn't the first time in Psalm 119 that that's been said. It also is said with some greater specificity in Psalm 19. In verse 7 through 9, we take note of what it says about the Word of God there. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The judgments of the Lord are true. The word of the Lord is true. What is truth? The word of the Lord is truth. God's word and his truth and his statutes accomplish so many things in our lives. It makes us wise. Brings joy to our heart. It opens our eyes. It educates us. It enlightens us to the ways of God. It converts souls. Helps us to live before God faithfully. Within our psalm, there are other benefits also pointed out with embracing the fact that the Word of God is true. Once again, verse 40, the Word is pure. It declares purity, and it leads us in purity. The Word is our delight. It is that which we have joy over. It is that which is our passion. It is that which we have zeal for. It's our delight more than anything else. It gives us understanding. It gives us understanding on a whole range of topics, not simply and preeminently who God is and what and who we are and what the world is all about. But it also speaks to all other kinds of issues that we come in contact throughout our life. It's not simply that we have a Christian existence and that doesn't relate to anything else we do. The Word of God informs our faith, but it also informs how we live as a Christian housewife, or how we live as a Christian businessman, or how we live as a geography professor or a music teacher. It informs us of a pattern of what's right and what's correct. And you know, we can deviate outside that pattern, but if we do, we're not going to be fully serving the Lord and getting the best benefit out of that service. The Word of God reaches its ultimate importance and focus in Christ. As he who is the Word of God in the flesh, he is also the one who is the way and the truth and the life. No one can know the Father. No one can get to the Father. No one can be in the Father's kingdom without going through Christ, who shows those ways of salvation, and that certainly is of utmost importance to all of us. But as I was looking at this passage, it doesn't simply talk about the Word of God being truth. It also talks about the Word of God, actually more so, it talks about the Word of God as something else. Something else just as important. The Word of God, in according to verse 137, is like God Himself. Not only is it true, but it is also righteous. It is also righteous. In fact, that theme keeps coming over and over again in this psalm. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright, or righteous, that's another way of saying upright, or righteous is upright, are thy judgments. Righteous is your word. Verse 138, thy testimonies that you have commanded are righteous and very favorable. 142, your righteousness as an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. And 144, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. God's word describes not only what is true from what is false, but it also describes what is right as opposed to what is wrong. It describes what is good in God's sight as opposed to that which is evil before Him. It lays out for us the blessed standard of holiness before no one no less than God. God's word is true, and because it is true, we can also know what is good and bad before God. We can also know what is false as opposed to what is true. We know what is good and bad. We know what is right and wrong. We know what is false and true. The two, truth and righteousness, are inextricably bound. They are not easy to separate in God's kingdom. The one informs the other. Following God's word and His truth leads to being righteous. That's part of the reason why Jesus, in His high priestly prayer in John 17, offered these words to God about His children. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Make your children holy, that's sanctify, through thy word, which is truth. Truth and holiness go together. Cannot be separated, whether it's in the psalm or in the words of Christ Himself. Cannot have one and not have the other. And the first casualty of abandoning truth is righteousness. When Pilate made this question of Jesus, what is truth? He signaled not simply that he didn't know what truth is, but he signaled that true righteousness and justice were not his concern. The very question, what is truth, illustrates that Pilate had no standard of what is right and wrong, and that our Lord would be judged according to whatever prevailing wind or whim happened to win the day, whether it be Jewish concerns or Roman concerns. It would not be truth, and it would not be righteousness that triumphed. So you see, much more is at stake than just saying the Word of God is true. It is. That's exactly right. But it's true also in how it directs and informs our lives, how it leads and guides us to the ultimate Savior and to the ultimate values of His kingdom. What is good, what is just, what is right, what is upright in His eyes. Remain in that word and know truth and develop wisdom. Know what constitutes purity. Rejoice that you have it. Have true passion and zeal for others to have it. As the psalmist remarks, zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. You sometimes feel that way? You're the only one who seeks to follow God's word, then the rest of the world is going off on the deep end, or down whatever path of truth or righteousness they happen to hold to. Doesn't it frustrate you sometimes that they won't bow to the word of God? Know what is really precious and valuable in your life. Your relationship with Christ and His Word. That's most precious of all. For it leads to delight in God. It leads to holiness. It leads to righteous living. It leads to life eternal. May God keep you strong in that Word always. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we also know, too, that when your word is truth, it is another thing sometimes to be able to act righteously toward others, especially those who do not hold that truth. Father, we pray that in all of our confrontations with those of the world, that you'll help us to remember that we represent the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We represent truth, and we speak to righteousness for His name's sake. Lord, keep working with us and refining us and sharpening our understanding and our practice of your word, that we might be good and faithful servants in your eyes, and that Christ's kingdom will be exalted as a result of our labors. Develop within us, Lord, a hunger and a thirst for your word, for its simple truths, and its never-ending righteousness. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.